ourselves again to, I hope and pray, a serious consideration. I don't know how many of you have even been giving any thought to this matter of these issues that have been thrown out before you night by night, day by day. I know there are yet some lost here. Many are lost. Many are yet Christless. And let me go this way. All of you will go home as you came unless God in His grace is pleased to awaken you. That's what we talked about last night. This man, far from God. But thank God he woke up to the fact. Look, there's distance between me and the Lord. Woke up to the fact that he was blowing it. Throwing life away. Some of you, again, you've thrown another day away. Tossed it to the wind. Listen, some of you will never be saved. June the 22nd, 1993. It's almost gone, unless you come tonight. Gone. Another day. Tomorrow, unless a miracle happens, you'll throw another 24 away. Who cares? Throw it away. Thank God that guy woke up and said, you know what I'm doing? I'm in wait. I'm out here wasting away with the tables of the Father filled to the brim. Listen, what a fool. Have you waked up to that yet? No, some of you haven't. So in fact, perhaps between this night and last night, nobody's waked up. It's just been the same old drowsy crutch. Yes. Oh, alert mentally. But you've not waked up to the fact you're in the far country. Wasting life, serving the wrong master, dead, lost, waiting to meet him. And that fellow, though, that did wake up, from my understanding of the Holy Writ, ended up in where the Bible calls Uranus, heaven. Now tonight I want to talk to you about a man that ended up in the opposite location, hell. The man we're going to look at tonight, according to the Lord, died and stayed eternally dead, spiritually. He is the man in Luke chapter 12. Now, what I'm bringing to your attention this evening, if that would be pleasing unto the Lord, is the issue of living for this world only. For this is what this man did. And it's so easy. Doesn't take any training, doesn't take a degree, doesn't take multiple skills. In fact, it doesn't take anything but breathing, bedding down, waking up, doing it again. Breathing, sleeping, waking. Breathing, sleeping, waking. And die. Without a Savior. Now this man successfully arrived in hell. How did he get there? That was the question that we put over all of these cases. How did these fellows arrive at heaven and hell? Well, we looked at one. He arrived, and at least he started on his path back by the fact that he was awakened and came alive to the fact that he needed a Savior and came home. Now this man tonight didn't wake up. He stayed asleep all the way. Let's read about him in the 12th chapter of Luke. I wish I had the time tonight to get you to talk about this personally and put your name in it. And I would say to you, where do you fit in here? I would just one by one say, all right, stand up and tell me, on the basis of what we read tonight, where do you feel like you'd fit in here? And I hope tonight you'll ask yourself where you are in this message. Luke chapter 12. In that scripture, Jesus was accosted by a man who asked him to speak to his brother, verse 13, that he may divide his inheritance with me. Now here was a fellow that he too was interested. He didn't say to Jesus, Lord, I want to find out something about eternal life. He said, I want to know. I've got a problem with my brother. He's trying to steal all of our inheritance. And what I'm interested in basically is my inheritance. Isn't that something? I mean, have an opportunity to talk to Jesus and talk to him about your inheritance. Yeah, I'm just amazed with that. Say, talk to me about the inheritance, Lord. Lord said, let me tell you something, son. Who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you and your brother or anyone else? And he said unto them, to all the crowds that were listening to this, take heed. Literally, be on your guard and beware of covetousness. The word for covetousness there is an interesting little, a very poignant and pointed word. It means looking for more. Beware of looking for more. Now, what he's speaking of here is not more spiritual resources, but watch out when you keep clawing after things you can see and feel and smell and fleshly enjoy. Watch out looking for more. And he says this, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow all my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool. Man, how would you like to die being called a fool by God? Thou fool. Now, there's some of these tonight that would fit, some in this congregation that would fit there. Why? Because we're not smart enough? Because we don't know enough? Because we don't have enough? No. He says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall these things be which thou hast prepared for thyself? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Now let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the truth of the Scriptures. Give us the grace we need to see this through successfully to your glory. Thank you for what our hearts have already felt today in the preaching of your word, what we've caught hold of through the teaching in the seminars, and what we've communicated with out among ourselves. Thank you tonight, blessed God, that there's been much prayer laid upon these services. Father, I pray that before this week terminates, there will be a whole host of people that will rally round Christ and talk not about the things of the world, but will seek His grace and savingly come to know Him. Thank you again. Take the service tonight and be thou much honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want us to see this tonight as we try to fit ourselves into it. If a person really either cared little about his eternal destiny or even took a straight shot towards it and said, I choose hell. Now, on the basis of reality and truth, I'm going to hell. Well, this is the way he ought to do it, if he does anything at all. Just neglect God and live for this world only. And you'll see here in this story a man that did exactly that. Now, watch the setting for it. Here is a man that in all of his life was much blessed of God. Much blessed of God. Now we're talking about from the common viewpoint of material possessions, spiritual blessings, and you name it, all the rest. The Bible said there was a certain rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. In other words, he had more than enough. He was just loaded with good things. And I say, as I look tonight, man, that's true of all of us. So graced of God. It amazes me sometimes how much God blessed me when I didn't even know Him as a Savior. Listen, suppose God gave all of us tonight what we deserve. Wouldn't that be something? I don't believe there's a person here tonight that would say, you know what? I deserve plenty, good things, fine food, good clothes, a gracious home. No, we don't deserve any of that. We are rebels against God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet God, in His common mercy and common grace, fills us with good things. First of all, material things, especially we who live in America. Just like this man, he had barns filled. He had bigger barns. He had plenteous crops. He had all you could ask for. And let me tell you this. It reminds me of what the Lord did for Israel as He tells us about it in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. When you listen to that Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, you'll see a bit about God's blessing of His people and the purpose in it all. All right? Said this. Deuteronomy 8:5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in all of His ways, and to fear Him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Yes. In other words, I'm just going to give you the word good here means totally pleasant land. How many of you would have rather been born in another land and missed this fine land God brought you into? Man, I have brought you into a fine, fine land. How about you? What kind of land were you brought into? You'd have to stand up and say, amen, that's where you brought me. Yes, a fine land, fine land, fine land. He fared sumptuously. He had good things. Now, I've got to ask all of you tonight, how many good things do you have? Could you fill a page with good things you have? I'm just talking about material things. Do you? I bring you, he said, into a good land. And I start to smile already and say, he's talking about me. Into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. You may not like the food, but you will have all you can eat. I've noticed this week, some don't like the food, but at the end of a meal, there is more than enough to feed another crew. I will give you so much, God said, you will just can eat and eat and eat. Wouldn't you think that a person that had that much would think, where in the world is this coming from? Why should I get all this? I've seen pictures of starving people, ribs caved in, bellies swollen, babies dying. Lord, how come that's not me? I'll leave you in a good land. You'll just eat till you can't eat anymore. And the only problem you'll have is getting fat. You'll be in a land where diets are in order, not starvation. There was a certain man who fared sumptuously and whose fields flooded with crops and whose barns could not hold all God's material graces to him. How about you? That's a good place to start. I mean, live in a place that you've got so much that you hardly ever think about meeting God. How could you think about meeting God when the halls are so cool and nice, air conditioned? How could you think about God when you never go to bed hungry unless you want to? How in the world could you give too much consideration to the last breath you breathe when you can go to a hospital now and get a good intravenous this or that and come out when years ago it would have meant your death? My, what? In fact, they're going to come up with a cure for AIDS. I'm not even worried about that anymore. God says, I shall bring you into a land filled and plenty and whose trees boughs shall be loaded with good fruit from heaven. Won't be because you deserve it. It will because I brought you there. How many of you chose where you'd be born? Raise your hand. I chose this land. None of you. How then did you get here? God brought you. I will bring you into a land laden with massive blessings. Well, good. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God. God says, okay, how is it? Well, boy, I tell you, I've got it. All right, he said this, what you to do. Don't just take it for granted and grab for more, but bless him, eulogize him, praise him. Get a heart of praise unto the God who hath loaded you with benefits, even the God of a great salvation. Well, that's what happened to this man. Loaded down, 20 years old, loaded with benefits. 30, plenty. 40. Just seemed like he was getting more all the time. But I say, wait a minute, stop. I know you've got your cupboards full, but how is it with your soul? soul? I go to church occasionally. What do you want me to do? Sell off everything? No, I do suggest, though, that you go directly to the God who's given you so much and bow at his feet. I'll think about it later. You know the easiest way to go to hell? Be filled with good things and be satisfied with that. Look at my shoes. You see my shoes? I'm not talking about mine. I'm talking about yours. Okay? Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I just went down the store and told my mom. I went, yeah, good. Clothing. Boy, I mean, you ought to see my cabinet and my closet. Occasionally, I don't get everything I want, but I get to go. I say, well, have you thought about where all that's coming from? Yeah, Mom and Dad did it. No, I mean beyond that. No. The best way to go to hell is just drowned in creature comforts without ever thinking from whence cometh these good things. Well, this week we've had a jolly good time, and do you realize starting Monday we've had people frolicking and playing, and not many have stopped to think, why am I here? Man, this is great. God, you listen, why am I enjoying all of this? Why am I getting in on all of this? Why am I hearing this preaching? Why is these songs coming to me? Why are these Bibles I can go and get? If I lose mine, I can get another one this afternoon in the Kmart or Walmart or some drugstore. God, I live in a land where snap my finger and Revelation books will come to my... I can go to a back table and find out how to get to glory, how to read the truth of the Scripture and find out what it means. I just... every which way I turn. There was a certain rich man whose crops were so great, his little... then in store barns had to be torn to the ground so he could build massive buildings to get the fullness blessings stored. I say again, I tonight talk to young people who perhaps have more than any generation that has ever lived, and yet we have more lost people in this country, not just young people, but adults, than any other nation on earth. Not less church members, but less truly born-again, blood-bought people. Living in a land of gargantuan grace and goodness, flooded mercy, full and free. Song books to sing out of. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I could be saved on that one verse, seeing myself as a wretch and crying for mercy. It's just out of a songbook. I could go to another song and sing, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And I could say, you know, that bloody fountain where Christ died for my sins, I'll go there now. Lord, save me, I pray, at that fountain open for sinners such as I. I can do that. I've got families that care, folks that praying for me this week, people wrapping you in prayer you're not even aware of. They're pulling you in prayer towards Calvary. Pulling by prayer. God bring them. Why, listen, you don't even know about it. But people are praying for you to come now to Christ. Why, look, you could be left alone. Nobody would care. Just let you breathe and die and perish. But people are praying for you. What? How good God is. You could be dead. All of us in this auditorium tonight could, listen to me now closely, all of us here tonight could already be in hell. And I'm going to ask you a question. Why aren't you? Why isn't everybody on this side of this building, down to this right here, center part, why aren't you already in the flames of hell? I want you to think about that. How many over here? Why aren't you? Is there anybody on this side that could give me one reason why you shouldn't be in hell burning tonight? Anybody? No. One reason. God's preserving mercy. For the Bible says in no uncertain terms, as Daniel spoke to Belshazzar, the proud king, he said this. Belshazzar had just had him a big party. Crops had been good that year. And God said through Daniel to Belshazzar, thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, thou hast not glorified. Look, God has put your table massively filled with plenty. He's got your breath in his hand, and at any time, Belshazzar, he can call your breath home, and you will go from your tables to meet your God and your Creator. He's got your breath in his hands. And in spite of that, in spite of all you've got, and in spite of the fact that God's got your breath in his hand, you have not glorified him. You have said to him, I shall go another day and glorify my pleasures and glorify myself and please me. But God, whose breath is in your hands, give me another handful of breath tomorrow that I might again go my way. And let me tell you this. Some of you here tonight will get breath another day, another handful of it. And then you'll go through Wednesday. And you'll say, I will not come to Christ. I'm sick and tired of it. I've heard it. I don't want it. But God, send me another breath of life on Thursday. Now listen to me. I'm going to warn you this closely. one day, I don't know when, your last handful of breath will come. It's over. That night, Belshazzar got his last handful. He died. There was a man that was richly blessed of God all his life. And that's true of most of us. We may not be millionaires. And we may not have multitudes of money in the old bank account, but I want to tell you, there are few of us here tonight that will go to bed hungry, or go to bed without clothing, or go to bed shoeless, or go to bed without eyes to see, or go to bed without ears to hear, or go to bed without feet to walk, or go to bed without Bibles to read, or go to bed without churches to go to, or go to bed without sermons to hear. We have been blessed of God. How could a man like that go to hell? I just don't see how. I do not see how a man could walk on, trample the blessings of God into hell with his feet black with blessings. I don't see how he could. But millions have done it and will do it tonight. Some will march out into eternity tonight on satin beds in America. Others in air-conditioned dining rooms. Others will go to eternal doom tonight, driving in a gracious, lovely, fine Cadillac of head-on collision and meet God. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you been blessed during your life? I'm not asking, you know, about so much about mom. I'm asking about you. Right in here. Look at me. Have you been blessed of God? Would anybody dare get up and say to me tonight, Brother Gates, put it down, I'm not blessed of God? Anybody? I'm giving you a chance right now to do that. Anywhere in this auditorium. Anybody? Then you're in the same shape he was in. And I am too. There was a man whose fields brought forth plenty. Now, I've got to ask you a second, and I want you to look at a second thought about this man. Not only was he blessed of God all his life, but he was a man who sometimes thought wisely. I didn't say all the time. No. If he'd thought wisely all the time, he'd have come to the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He never came to that. But he at times thought wisely. And let me tell you why I think that, okay? And it's right there on the pages that we read tonight, and I would have to say it's written plain and clear. What did he do when he saw all of these resources? Listen to what he did. Certain rich man's fields, grounds brought forth plentifully. Good. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Now let me say to you, that is wise thinking. You don't get many people that wise. There's, in fact, in this congregation, I doubt if there's anybody that smart this week. And maybe no, let me back up, Lord. There's bound to be somebody that's right. But not many. In what way? How many of you have said, God's been so good to me, I'm just going to have to ask the question, what can I do? Has anybody done that? Oh, my, he said, look out here at all these, mercy! Now, he didn't use the word God, but he used the phrase I like, what shall I do? That's an excellent question. It's excellent because you've got to think to ask it. And not many people think. They just sort of glide through life, grabbing fistfuls of this and handfuls of that. Under both arms, they're marching to eternity. Never think. What if I die loaded like this? What will I say to the God who I face the next minute with this in my heart? How did you spend my resources? I didn't care less. I just kept postponing salvation as long as I could. Because you're going to have to tell the truth now. Tonight, if some of you go out, you'll go out well stocked, well dressed, well clothed, well ready. But oh my, if you had ever stopped and thought, what in the world am I doing? What shall I do? Look at me, blessed of God this way, breathing in life, blessed with health, strength, friends, home, car, blessings. What shall I do? Listen, that is a smart person that asks a question, makes himself think. I'm just going to ask myself, and I'm going to make myself answer. What are you going to do about this? You know, wouldn't that be great if all of us would say, why am I blessed so much? I'd have all the preachers and I'd have all the counselors here tonight ask yourself, and I'll ask myself, first of all, why are we blessed so much? Well, you know, many, many people that don't do much thinking will say, well, I bet I'm special. I don't know. I guess it's just because I came in a good family. I don't know. I think God's just picked me out. Well, all those things might be well and good, but let me say something to you. I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture that will answer the question right off. Okay? Why has God blessed you so good? Why aren't you tonight dying in a cancer ward? Pale and bleeding, or just faintly breathing. Why? Are you better than they? That fellow dying tonight, heading towards hell, 10 breaths away, in 10 breaths he'll be there. Why aren't you there? Why has God blessed you and me? So I can enjoy myself before I die? So I can be lost in comfort. Well, I'm lost, but I thank God I'm comfortably lost. Just don't have to worry about it. I'm going to eternity without God, but at least I'll go well-dressed, and I'll probably get a new car. But I say, well, what are you going to do with your car when you die? Well, it'll be in the garage. My dad will get it, or my uncle will get it, or my little brother will get it. Then who shall these things be? But why do I get so many blessings? Here's the text that answers, to me at least. In the book of Romans, the 2nd chapter, God's word says in no questionable terms, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Look at that with me just a minute. Do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Are you not realizing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance? Rich man, you ask a good question. What shall I do? I'm going to answer you. A God that's been as good to you as he has for you, you ought to go to him right now. Turn from your sins and flee and cry, God, save me. The goodness of God is not so you can take this old body and dress it up like a Christmas tree or look better. It's to lead you. Come, weary sinner. Come, just as you are, to the God who giveth again and again and again. Come, just as you are. The purpose of God in his magnificent love from Calvary's cross, is to lead you to the place where you will flee from your transgressions to the Rock of Ages, cleft for you. Good question. What shall I do? And the reason I say that's wise, I very seldom in all the years, I've been talking tonight about how many years we had out there, those pastors preaching, Joe. How many years experience did we all have? I've been preaching since 1953. I was in college. 40 years. And in 40 years, I've never had anybody telephone me and say, are you, a lot of, you know, they use this religious term, reverend. Are you Reverend Gates? Never had it with this next statement. God's been so good to me, I'm trying to find out how to get saved. I'll tell you, preacher, I've been thinking, I was just looking around my house. God has just blessed me with a family. My goodness, I'm eating well. I haven't missed a meal. I'm healthy. Listen, I've just got to be saved. God's so good to me. Never had that happen because the human heart is hard. But that's what it was meant to do, to bring you to repentance. But I have had this. Hello, preacher. My husband just had a heart attack. He wants to get saved. I thought, oh, bless God, wouldn't it have been good if he'd have wanted to be saved while he had a good heart? Isn't it something that so many of us here tonight will not be interested in salvation until we ourselves come to some deadly disease? Why can't you come tonight and say, you know, I'm not waiting for a disease. I'm not waiting for a wreck. I'm not waiting to fail. I'm not waiting to lose my girlfriend or boyfriend. I'm coming, God, just because for no other reason. You've been so good to me. I'm an unworthy sinner, and I want to come right now and open the door and bid you come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wouldn't that be good? I'm going to challenge. I'd like to have a challenge of anybody in this auditorium tonight that will come to me after the service or during these days ahead, or come to Brother Carey, or come to Brother Bill, or come to Brother any of these counselors and say to them, God's been so good to me. Please, would you tell me how to get to glory? Here was a man who at least one time thought wisely, what should I do about how good I have been blessed? All right, here was a man who was blessed all of his life. And you all agreed that was you. Now, second question. We're going to be a little bit more careful now. How many of you would be like this man? You've asked the question, what should I do about all of my blessings? Have any of you asked him? Well, I'm going to beg you for this week's out. Ask yourself the question. How am I responding to the God who loads me with goodly outward things and mercies from heaven and spares my life and keeps me breathing and keeps sight in my eyes and keeps me moving through life and has not yet let me go into hell. He has spared me a day after day after day. What should I do? What should I do? Now, some will not do that. So you won't boo. You'll just have to stay in that first section of this man. You'll just keep getting blessed, you, but you'll never ask the question, what should I do? At least this man was wise enough to ask himself that. Talk to yourself like he did. He talked to himself. Self, what do you think you ought to do? Talk to yourself. Ask questions. Now let's close this tonight by focusing in on the final section of a man's life that went to hell. The man who was blessed all his life, the man who was at least sometimes wise, was finally the man who made the wrong choice and died a fool. He made the wrong choice. Ask a great question. I mean, I'd say amen to him. I'd pat him on the back. Good question, sir. What should you do? Excellent question. Not many people ask that. Good question. You didn't wait till you got sick. You didn't wait till the chariots burned. You didn't wait till you had a crop failure. You ask it while you're filled. Good a question. But oh, I couldn't say any more about that good after that, because he made the wrong choice. He gave the wrong answer, and he died a fool. Died a fool. Like many of you, unless a miracle happens, some of you here this week will die. What God calls, thou fool. Why? What kind of choice did he make? All right, I'm going to list them for you. I promise you that. I don't think I'll preach. I think I'm going to list them, and I want you to preach them to yourself. Will you? There are four malignant, cancerous, killing, suicidal, deadly, condemning, dooming, soul-destroying decisions he made. The first one is this. Now listen. He said, I will pull down my barns and build greater barns. Or, he decided to go on living for this world only. I've been out involved in the barns. Now I'm going to keep doing the same thing. Not making any change. Well, look, don't you think it's time to think about God and Calvary and dying in eternity? No. I'm going to go on doing what I've been doing. I'm going to get up in the morning, keep on. Brother, if that isn't true of so many here, listen, there won't be any difference. You'll go on doing tomorrow what you did today. You weren't disturbed today. You weren't disturbed yesterday. You weren't disturbed last week. You won't be disturbed tomorrow. You'll just keep on doing your thing. Building, living, filling, grabbing, funning, abusing God's mercy. Just keep on. That's all you got to do. He said, I will go on doing what I've been doing. Whew. But there's a second mistake. It is this. Listen to me. I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I will build greater barns. There's no I in the King James, but there's an I in the verb. In the voice of the original, first person singular, same as the other verbs. What shall I do? This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and live it up. Second big mistake. He planned for the future without taking God into consideration. I want you to count the personal pronouns. First person, personal pronouns. Okay? You know how many of them there are in those verses? 12. 12 times the I or my appears. What will I do? I will tell you. I will build barns. I will bestow my crops. I will say to myself, I say, wait, sir. Do you realize your life is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away? I say to him, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I've heard that plenty of times. Offend not the God in whose breath, in whose hand thy breath rests. You ain't scaring me. Planning for the future. You know, that's what all sinners do that. So all of you tonight that are lost are doing that. You're planning tomorrow, and you've not considered anything about God. You know what time you're going to get up. I'm going to go have breakfast at this time. And then after that, I'm going to play a little bit, just relax a little bit. Then I'm going to plan on meeting so-and-so, and then we're going to talk. And then I say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Aren't you like the man in James? When James said, say not, we shall go into such and such a city, and there I shall buy and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is a puff of smoke that appears out of the chimney, and with a little whiff of wind, it's gone and gone forever. Whereas you ought to say, if the Lord wills, I'll be here tomorrow. Listen. God have mercy on all of you that are here tonight. You're making plans tomorrow and you're not giving God any consideration. There are no thoughts of eternity, no thoughts of heaven and hell, no thoughts of judgment, no thoughts of dying, no thoughts of a cross, no thoughts of a Savior, no thoughts of a salvation. No more than you have to. It's brushed aside while plans of tomorrow fill your head with visions of delight. That's a deadly mistake. He just kept on living as usual, and he planned the future without God. Man, that could go on. Some here tonight are planning to get married. Some are planning to go to college. Some are planning to buy something. Some are planning to go to this camp and that camp. Even the rest of the summer, planning, going to. Lost. Breath. And the third, he says to himself, oh soul, thou hast goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, be merry. The word for be merry here is euphorism, euphemistic, jumping up and down with joy. Come on, soul, get so happy you just hop with delight. Jump up and down. Look, eat, drink, and be merry, and get with it, boy. Live it up. That's what I call the mistake of believing that you do not need God to enjoy life. I'll just say to my soul, you don't need God. You've got so much good stuff. You just have a good time. Eat. I say, well, look, don't you need the bread of life? Nah. Drink. Don't you need the water of life? I need. Take your ease. How can you be at ease in sin knowing the wrath of God hangs over your head day and night like a massive boulder? For he that believeth not that I am he, the wrath of God abideth on him. You mean you can be at peace with God's wrath hanging like a mountain, swaying in the wind over your head, ready to fall at any minute? How can you be at ease? How can you go to bed tonight knowing this? If I die, I'll be in hell before morning. I'm going to enjoy my rest. Oh, God. Take your ease. Be merry. How can you be merry without the joy unspeakable and full of glory that comes only from Calvary's King? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. To think you can have a big time without Christ who is life, that is a deadly mistake. Because you know why? You'll keep trying to have it without Him. You'll go here. You'll get over it, but you'll find something else to do. Well, I tell you, if I just find me another boyfriend, or a girlfriend, or if I can find something that'll, you know, at night, I wonder what's missing in my life. I've got to find it. What is? I hate to be alone. If I could just keep the radio going, or the television playing, or keep people all about me like salt and pepper, but oh, when I'm alone and I think, when I go to a funeral and I look at the corpse and the box and I say, what if that was me? And I come out whistling, saying to my soul, look, just keep having a good time. It's okay. He drank and be merry. Smile, be happy. That's deadly. That's deadly. And the fourth and final mistake is this. Jesus said to him, oh, thou fool. Here was a man who made the wrong choices and died a fool. This night, tonight, between 6 in the evening and 6 in the morning, thy soul shall be required of thee. You're leaving the earth tonight. And I want to tell you, when God says you're leaving the earth, guess what? You're leaving the earth. You know when you're going to leave the earth? When He gets ready. He didn't take this man home day before yesterday or two or three. He took him home. His time was this night, for Job says, the number of your months are His. He has determined the length of your days. Every one of you here in this auditorium, from Clowney here, He's got the date on the calendar you're going to meet Him. And that night or that day, you'll go home. Now, this man did. And here was the mistake that he had made in life. He took care of everything but eternity. Took care of his farm. Had his family well stocked. Probably had good insurance. Just took care of everything but eternity. Thought about it all. Realized he needed to have a good time. Thought he had that figured out. Had a lot of good friends. But I say to him, sir, do you ever think about dying? Where are you going to go on the other side when your last breath comes? Let me ask you. You're a wealthy man. In fact, the word for wealth here is plutocrat. He's a plutocrat. He's plutocratic. The Greek word is plousios. We get English plutocrat. There was a certain plutocrat. Plenty he had. Fat billfo. That's all you need. But the Bible said he died a pauper. Why? So is he a fool that lays up treasure for himself, gets all he can for his fallen nature and lust, yet is not rich toward God. He had plenty of time to take care of everything but his soul. Out there building, bringing in the crops. And what shall it profit a man if he gain the world? God takes it and he loses his soul. Listen to me tonight. I'm going to beg you one more time. The Bible says, do not boast about tomorrow. Now, listen, if you want hell, I have this word for you. Keep on doing what you're doing. Don't worry, you'll get there. But if you want Him, cry out, leave your sins, run from them like a rattlesnake in the grass. And curl up in His arms and cry out, Son of God, I want to die rich because You are my riches. Don't die poor and be poor for eternity. Come tonight, just as you are, empty pockets to Christ, and get rich, for He has riches untold that will last through the billions of ages. When I've been there 10 billion years, bright shining as the sun. I've no less days to sing and enjoy God's praise and promise than when I first begun. Don't die poor. Don't live for this world only. Turn, for why will ye die tonight? It's enough. Let's bow our heads. God of glory, God of mercy, God of grace, I do not know what to say, but hurry. Lord, I wonder sometimes, why do we think we own the clock and we can assign ourselves calendar dates as if though we were the God of mercy and grace ourselves? Our life is a shuttle passing through the loom with rapidity. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Lord, help us not to sow to the flesh, for of the flesh we shall reap corruption. God, it's so easy to spend our time farming in the wrong fields. And when the harvest comes in, God, alas, eternity without God or His Son. For he that soweth in the field of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Lord, to some of us tonight, we've never been in the other field. We just go day and night plowing out here in the world's territory, planting all kinds of crops. Some are good. We've got a little religion involved in it to make us feel good on the weekends. But not enough to make us turn and follow Christ. It is not religion. It is a relationship with the Son of God that saves. So, Father, we give it to you tonight. Now, again, while heads are bowed, nobody in this house is doing anything, I hope, about anybody else, just you. As we're praying, I want to ask you three questions again, and I want you to talk to God about them after I ask them, each one. The first question, are you in your life blessed of the living God? If your answer is yes, will you thank Him right now from the bottom of your heart? Thank Him that you're not in hell. Thank Him that there is a Calvary where your transgressions and wrath of God fell so that the wrath of God was propitiated and turned from you. Thank Him. If you're His. If you're not, that you're yet alive. Second, do you ever ask yourself the question, what should I do? Should I go on like this, neglecting, or should I come to Christ quickly, praising Him for His mercy to me? And talk to God about that, would you? The last question. What kind of decision do you think you'll make this week? Shall you go on living as usual? Will you stay away from Christ? Or will you race to Him and embrace Him and plead His mercy? Tell Him. And then at least pray this. Oh Lord, don't let me die poor. For there's riches in Christ. In In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.